I can't hear you. Maybe I can hear you now. Overall, maybe just say something.
No.
Yeah, I
Testing
can hear you.
one.
Okay.
Testing
Yeah.
one, two, three. Testing one, two, three.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe a little over. Just try one more time.
Testing one, two, three.
Fine. Okay. That's good. Let's go. Says the Gemara of Chof Hey Amud Aleph. Unbelievable. Just as we're learning these sugyas, and you think that some of these shilas sound a little bit far-fetched. So Mamish just yesterday there was a Shaila that somebody asked me where his child on Shabbos morning had dirtied the wall with tsoya. We will not get involved in details. And now he has a whole Shaila. He asked me, firstly, he's allowed to clean it off on Shabbos, but this is right next to his dining room table, which
Right.
means can he say Kiddush and can he bench there? And does it depend on if there's a smell and there's a four amos and a reach ra sheyesh lo ikka and lein lo ikka? This is precisely the sugya that we're learning now. It's mamish mamish halacha lemaaseh. So let's have a look at the Gemara. We began this last time. Let's go over it again on the first wide line. Itma. Itmar. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Reach Ra Sheyesh Le'ika. You remember we distinguished between a Reach Ra, where the source of it is there, is tangible, like Tzoya, as opposed to Reach Ra She'ein Le'ika, where the source is just a smell, it's an odor in the air, but there's actually no Tzoya there. So for the moment, we're talking about a Reach Ra. Sheyesh le'ikah, as Rav Huna says, Marchik dalad amos v'koyrei kriya shema. One has to distance oneself four amos from the source of the Reach Ra. And Rav Chista said, no, that's not enough. Rav Chista said, Marchik dalad amos. You have to Marchik dalad amos from where? Mimokim sheposak hareach. Not from the actual tzoya, but rather four amos away from where the odor ends, and then v'koyrei kriya shema. Tanya Kvosid Rav Chista. So we had a Braisa that supports Rav Chista, which is the more stringent of the two opinions, i.e., it does not suffice to move four amos away from the tzoya. Rather, you have to move four amos away from where the odor of the tzoya ends. And this is now supported by the following Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? Tanya Kvosid Rav Chista, Loi Yikra. Adam Kriya Shema. A person should not recite Kriya Shema. Loi keneged tsoyas Adam, neither facing the tsoya of a human being. Veloi keneged tsoyas klovim, or the tsoya of dogs. V'loi keneged tzoyas chazerim, neither the tzoya of a chazir. V'loi keneged tzoyas taranagoilim, neither the tzoya of chickens. Any of these tzoya persons should not recite Kriya Shema in their presence. V'loi keneged tzoyas ashpo, neither if there is the tzoya in an ashpo. An ashpo is a garbage heap. Sherechara. In any of these cases, there's a Reach Ra, and one cannot therefore say Kriya Shema in the presence of a Reach like that. V'im hoya mokoim gavoya asara tfachim. But if the tzoya was placed on a mound of earth, let's say, which has a height of 10 tfachim, oy nomuch asara tfachim, or to the contrary, it was lower than where he was. It was inside a pit. So we know that 10 tfachim, we remember this when we learned sukkah together, that's always considered the height of a rishus, which means that he's no longer now in the same rishus as Tzoya. The yisa is v'hoyo machanecho kodesh. This is a different machane. If he's on the ground and this is on top of a pillar, 10 tfachim tall, then he's not in the same machane at all. So then it would be mutter. Then yoshev b'tzidoy, then he could sit right there next to it, the koyre kriya shema. Ve'im lav, but if not, marchik mole einov, you would have to distance as far as the eye could see. And the Brisa says in conclusion, v'chein l'tfilo. So too, everything we've just discussed with regard to kriya shema is true also with regard to tfilo. And then it says the last line, this is what supports Rav Chisda, Reach Ra sheyesh lo ikar. If the Reach Ra has an ikar, which means the source of it is something tangible, like Tzoya, for example, Marchik Dalad Amois, and what does it say? Mimokoim Horeach. Those two words are the key words. You see quite clearly that Rav Chisda's opinion is absolutely explicit in the Braisa. It does not suffice merely to move 4 amas away from the Tzoya. Rather, you have to move 4 amas away from where the odor of the Tzoya ends. And only then, the Koire Kriyas Shema. So we have a supporting Braisa, which, by the way, therefore will not come as a surprise. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that we actually do Paskin like this opinion. And probably the reason is because the Gemara, in fact, brings a brisa to support this stance. So it does not suffice just to be 4 amas away from the Tzoya. We have to be 4 amas away from the smell. Now, don't forget what we said last week. We said last week that we are not talking about the Tzoya is in sight in front of him. Because if it's in front of him, then you have a different issue. Remember, we're always discussing two separate issues. Rabbeisa, this is very, very, very important to remember. Otherwise, we're just going to get totally confused. We are dealing simultaneously with two separate issues. Issue number one is, can you see Tzoya? We learned the whole sugya about, can you see Tefach Be'isho Ervo? Can you see the real Ervo? Can you see Sar Be'isho Ervo? That's a different issue. That is an issue of you shall not see an erva or anything unbecoming at the time you say Dvaram Shebe Kedusha. That's nothing to do with 4 amas or 10 amas or 50 amas or 1,000 amas. If you can see it, then that's the issa. The second issue we are dealing with is what we call a different pasuk, Vahoyo Machanecho Kodesh. Your machane has to be Kodesh, which means even if I cannot see, this Tzoya is out of sight. Why is it out of sight? For example, it's behind me. So if it's behind me, obviously, that has nothing to do with the issue of seeing something inappropriate. I cannot see it, it's behind me. V'lo yiroi b'cho ervas dova is all dependent on vision. This cannot be seen. So this is when the second issue is relevant. V'hoyo machanecha kodesh. This is what we're dealing with over here now. In your machane always means 4 amas, there shouldn't be anything unbecoming, inappropriate. Now, this is the machlokes. 4 amas away from what? 4 amas away from the actual tzoya. And if the tzoya is 4 amas away, that means the tzoya is in a different machane and that will suffice. Or no, the reach coming from the tzoya, that is the inappropriate item to be in my machane. So even if the tzoya is 10 amas behind me, but if the smell of the tzoya can reach, for example, 8 amas away from the original tzoya, so therefore it turns out that I am in fact within 2 amas of, not of the tzoya, but the reach emanating from that tzoya. And according to Rav Chisda, that is a problem. You have to distance yourself, Dalad Amos, from where the Reach finishes. And this is what the Gemara has brought a supporting proof for.
Rav, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, in the case of being in another domain, 10 tefachim higher, 10 tefachim lower, where's the soa? Is it the smell we're still dealing with? How does that help us?
For the moment, we were talking about the actual soa. If it's in a different rishus, then we have no problem of in being in your machne. Like you said, if we're dealing with the smell, I mean, you're asking if the smell can rise up from those 10 amos.
I'm saying if it's in a different domain, yet you can still smell it.
Yeah, so we're going to see that in Shulchan Aruch Mitzvah Hashem.
Okay.
Yeah, you're asking a good question. We're going to see this Mitzvah Hashem in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. So for the moment, the Gemara clearly brings a supporting proof for the opinion of not Rav Huna, but Rav Chista, that it doesn't so much depend on where the tzoya is, but rather it depends where does the smell end, and you have to have distance 4 amos away from that. Again, I stress, we're talking about that you cannot see the tzoya. If you can see the tzoya, then you have a different issue of v'lo yiroi b'cho erbas dova. We're not talking about that. Have a look briefly in the Rashi again. We saw this last time, but very, very important. Rashi is on the 4th narrow line, Marchik Dalad Amos. Says Rashi, Marchik Dalad Amos, Min Ha'ika, Va'afal Pi Shehareach Bo Eilov, even though the smell comes his way. This was the first opinion that says that what? That the smell is not what concerns us, it's only the Tzoya. Second opinion says, no, it's the smell. But here Rashi emphasizes, we are talking about the tzoya is actually behind him, that he cannot see it. If he cannot see the tzoya, that's when we have this machloikas. Do you have to distance yourself 4 amas from the tzoya or 4 amas from the reach coming from the tzoya? But it all is based on the pre-requirement that we're talking about. It's behind him. But if it's in front of him, then even if it's not in his machaneh, it's 5 amos away, or 10 amos away, or 1,000 amos away, it doesn't matter. As long as you can see it, that's considered v'lo yiroi b'cho erbas dova.
Rabbi, does old soa count?
If it has a reach.
Only if it has.
Right.
So if I'm on my peset and there's soa from a pigeon, but there's no smell. It's.
Oh, so this is a good question. So this is what the Gemara is saying. This is included in Tzoyas Taranagoylim and chickens, and we'll see there's a discussion about it in Tosa. So your question will be answered then. And again, we will look up in Shulchan Aruch how we paskin over here. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. Says Rava. Less hilchasa kiha masnita. The halacha does actually not follow the brisa that we just brought. We just brought quoted a brisa that says, do not say kriya shema, or tefillah for that matter, in the presence of tzoya. Which tzoya? Klovim, chazerim, tarnagoylim, everything. There is one detail that's not mentioned in that brisa, and Rava now brings this detail back onto the table and says that the brisa did not mention it, so we do not paskin like that brisa. And what is the detail that was omitted? Says Rava, I'm skipping the parenthesis, Elo kiha d'tanya. Rather, the halacha follows a different brisa, so it may well be a machloikas between the two brisas. Says Rava, we do not follow the opinion of the first brisa, rather of the second. What does it say in the second? It says, Loi yikra odom. A person should not recite kriya shema, Loi keneged tsoyas odom. Not in the presence of tsoyas odom. So far, so good. V'loi keneged tsoyas chazeirim, v'loi keneged tsoyas klovim. Now, so far, we don't see any chiddush. That's word for word the way it appeared basically in the first brisa as well. But here comes the addition. Bizman, only at the time, shenosan oirois l'soichon. Shenosan oirois l'soichon. Oirois, with an I, we know is skin. The way that they used to treat the skin, as we'll see in Rashi, when they used to take skin off an animal, we know there is a malacha on Shabbos, you do what's called ibud. It needs to be tanned or treated. And the way they did it was they actually took soya from an animal and they put it into this oir with an ayin. And that gave off a very pungent and unpleasant smell. Says this brisa, so yes, behemoth says chazerim, etc., etc. It's only osa to say kriya shema in its presence if this tsoya was used for the purpose of treating animal skins, because then it gives off a very unpleasant smell. But if you have not put it in the oiris, just the tsoya is by itself, then that odor is not considered unpleasant enough to contravene the issa of Hoya Machanecho Kodesh. Now, in the first brisa, there was absolutely no mention of this whatsoever. Rather, the brisa simply said, do not recite Kriya Shema in the presence of the following list of tzoya. It didn't say anything about mixing it or not mixing it with oiros. Says rather, we do not paskin like the first brisa, rather we paskin like the second brisa, i.e. it's only osa if it is mixed with the oiris. Now, we have to see a Rashi over here, because look again carefully at that second brisa. The brisa says, do not recite Kriya Shema Kneged Tsoyas Odom, Chazeirim Klovim. And then it says, Bizman Shenosan Bem Oiris. So there were three types of tsoya mentioned in this brisa. Tsoya of an odom, and then tsoya of a chazeirim, and tsoya of klovim. So when the brisa made the stipulation, Bizman Shenosan Bohem Oiris, what was that referring to? Was that referring to all three cases of tsoya or not? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, less hilchasa. Ki ha'amas nisim, dela'el, says Rashi. We are not following the first brisa that we said before, the osar tsoyas klovim v'chazeirim. Rashi picks out two from the list. B'she'en behem oiris. In the first brisa, it says that these tsoya are osa even if there is no oiris. But in the second brisa, it says it differently. And that is, Bizman sheyesh bohen oiris. It is only when there is oiris. What does that mean, says Rashi? Atsoyas klovim v'chazeirim ko'i. This is only referring to tsoya from an animal. It's only two out of the three, not tsoyas odom. Why? Shedarkon, because that's considered the norm, lose lesiton be'ibud ha'oires. That's a normal way of treating the oir, is that you add to it tsoya either from a chazir or a kelev. Avol. But tsoyas odom, Tzoya from a human being, afilu belai oiros, even without oiros at all, would still be an issa. Why? Shaharei ein darkom lesiton shom. It is not considered the norm to add tzoya of an odom to oiros. So therefore, that cannot possibly be what it's being referred to. Hilkoch. Therefore, al karachoch, we have no choice. We must say that when the Braisa tells us, do not recite Kriya Shema in the presence of Tzoyas Odom. What does that mean, Tzoyas Odom? Says Rashi, beloi oirois ka'oma. What that means is beloi oirois. What do you mean beloi oirois? But the Braisa clearly says we're talking about with oirois. Yes, that is with klovim v'chazerim, but not in the case of Tzoyas Odom. So the way that Rashi is teaching us for the moment, it turns out that there's a very big distinction to be made between Tzoyas Odom and Tzoyas Behemoth, which Reb Nachum would immediately answer your question. Because it turns out that Tzoyas Tarnagoilim, etc., is only also with Oiros. Only Tzoyas Odom is also without. But for the moment, all other tzoya, even though it might well be a machlokas between two brises, but Rava tells us the halacha follows the second brisa, which means it's only with oiros. Now, let's have a look at Tosus, because Tosus discusses this as well, the top Tosus. Less hilchasa, says Tosus. Les hilchasa kiha masnisa elo kiha the tanya. Pirush Rashi. So Tosus quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Les hilchasa. The halacha does not follow kiha masnisa de la el. It does not follow the brisa that we mentioned before. The osra soyas klovim the chazerim. The first brisa forbade Kriya Shema in the presence of Tzoyas Klovim v'Chazerim, Afilu b'she'ein bohem oirois, even if there's no oirois. Avol, Tosis is still quoting Rashi, Avol b'Tzoyas Odom loy shayech. But when it comes to Tzoyas Odom, that's not obviously the norm, and therefore v'osur b'chol inyan. And therefore, be also in all cases Tzoyas Odom. So now, how many examples of Tzoya were mentioned in this second brisa? Three. Tzoyas Odom, which Rashi, as quoted by Tosus, has told us that that is also in all cases. And then there were two further examples, Tzoyas Klovim and Chazerim, either from a dog or a pig. And that's where we have the stipulation about oiros. Now, one second. There is no mention in the second brisa of Tzoyas Tarnagoilim. Tzoyas Tarnagoilim was clearly mentioned in the first brisa, but it's not mentioned in the second brisa. So which way do we go? Does that mean that Tzoyas Tarnagoilim is missed out and is muta or not? Says Tosfos, Avol b'tzoyas tarnagoilim loy airi Rava. Rava was clearly never discussing tzoyas tarnagoilim because the brisa that he brought for us does not mention tarnagoilim, so he's not referring to that. Ube'idach brisa loy goras tzoyas tarnagoilim. And in that brisa, there's no mention of Tzoyas Tarnagoilim at all. And yet in the first brisa, it was mentioned. But it's clearly not mentioned in the second brisa. V'loi polig b'ho amasnisa d'la'el. Says Tosfos, the reason why it's not mentioned in the second brisa is because the only cases mentioned in the second brisa are those that are coming to argue with the first brisa. What is the second brisa teaching us? That unlike what was mentioned in the first brisa, that it is also even without oiros, the second brisa tells us that actually it's only also with oiros. But if it doesn't mention Taranagoylim, then what are we supposed to assume? That Taranagoylim, the second brisa says, I have nothing to add. I do not disagree with you. And if you in the first brisa says that Soyas Taranagoylim is also, I agree. Without any qualifications. Says Tosus, if that's the case, Veloi Polig Baho Amasnisa Dlael. Well, if that's the case, then the second brisa is not disagreeing with the first. Ulafizan, according to that, Yeish Lesoir Tsoyas Taranagoylim. Well, therefore, we reach the inescapable conclusion that. So yes, Taranagoylim is awesome. The reason why it wasn't mentioned in the second brisa is not because it's mutter, to the contrary, because it's awesome, and therefore there was no need to make mention of it because the second brisa in that particular point does not disagree with the first brisa. So there's nothing to add. So according to this, to the contrary, so yes, Taranagoylim is in fact awesome. Now, Tosis makes a big qualification. Tosfos says, "Va'oy Rabbeinu Yehuda." Rabbeinu Yehuda says, "Yes, that's true. That soyas taranagoylim is also, but not in every case. The dafka kashehein belul shalohem. What's a lul? A lul is a barn or a stable, or in the case of a chicken, I guess we'd call it a chicken coop." It is only when this particular tsoya is to be found in the lul of the chicken, in the coop of the chickens. Why? Why is there worse? Sheyesh shom sirchoin godoil, because there is a terrible stench. In the chicken coop, there is a terrible stench, and that is where we say that if there is Soya of Taranagoylim is also Tzik Kriyashima. However, Avol the Taranagoylim Haholchim Babayis, but chickens that wander around at home, this was once upon a time the norm, says Tosfos, Ein Cheshishim is no concern. Why is there no concern? Because there's no Sirchein Godel. There's only a Sirchein Godel if it's in the chicken coop. Says Tosfos, Ub Yerushalmi Yesh. In Yerushalmi, it's written the following: Debeda Adoimim Bilvad Yesh Lachush. What's Adoimim? Edomites. It is only a particular type of chicken, if it is an adoimi chicken, that's when the tsoya is awesome. What is unique about that chicken, says Tosfos, I have no idea. Says Tosfos, v'loy yodinon lefarish. We do not know how to explain this Yerushalmi. Why else should make a difference between a regular tarnagoil or a tarnagoil that is an edoimi tarnagoil? What's the difference? Although at the side of the Gemara they do explain, and they explain that these particular chickens from Edoim had a very bad smell to them. Okay. Yeah, we'll leave the rest of the tesis. So either way, it turns out that Tosfos does say to us that to the contrary, Tsoyas Taranagoylim, which is not mentioned in the second brisa, do not misunderstand that to be an indication that Tsoyas Taranagoylim is muta. To the contrary, Tsoyas Taranagoylim is osa. The reason why it's not mentioned in the second brisa is precisely because there's nothing to add. it was mentioned in the first braisa. In the second braisa, I didn't see any necessity to add it. Says the Gemara in conclusion. Bo'u minei Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes the following. Reach ra she'ein lo yikar mahu. We have only discussed the reach ra she'yesh lo yikar. That means the actual tzoya is there. But if it's a reach ra she'ein lo yikar, we said, for example, there is just the waft of a smell that comes from somebody's goof, but there's actually no tzoya itself around. So how do we view that? Is that better? Is it worse? Is it different? Is it the same? Says the Gemara, we can bring a proof. Omalu osu chazu. Let's have a look. Hani tzipi de beirav. Rashi says, tzipi is machsoloi shel beis hamedrash, these mattings in the beis hamedrash. People used to come to the beis hamedrash, so very comfortable seating. It was so comfortable, dahanu ganu vahani gersi. There were some people learning there, and there were some people sleeping there. So they didn't just have regular chairs in the beis hamedrash. They actually had these machsoloi, these mattings, which you could have a rest. Now, what's significant about the fact that people were sleeping there? Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, the Hanu Gani Bahani Garsi. There was some sleeping and some learning, says Rashi. Vafalpi Shederech Hayeshenim Lafiach. When the person is sleeping, it might well be that the people subconsciously, without intending to, an odor will be emitted from the goof. So if that's the case, how are people learning there? How can you have people learning in the same place as people are sleeping? If people are sleeping, there's going to be a reach ra. Now, what type of reach ra? Clearly a reach ra she'ein loy ikah. We're not talking about that there's tzoil there. It's just a reach that is emitted from the goof. And it says that people were learning there. So it would seem to be that what? We've just gone past and our shaila. That if you wanted to know, is it mutter to say kriya shema in the presence of a reach ra, she'ein lo ikar, it would seem to be that it is permitted. Because if not, how do these talmidim learn in the presence of this smell that inevitably was wafting its way around the Beis HaMedrash? So we'll have to see, does this apply in every case? The Gemara is making a distinction. The Gemara says, Vahani mili b'divrei toiro. That's all true with regard to learning. Avol b'kriya shema loi. Why is kriya shema different? Says Rashi. Vahani mili l'girisa mishum d'loi efsha. Because it's impossible. Why is it impossible? A person is learning constantly. You can't tell him to go outside the whole time. But the Kriya Shema says Rashi Yetze Luchutz VeYikra. But it comes to Kriya Shema where you're just saying it as a one-time thing and it takes 3 minutes. So if there's a Reach Rash Ein Lo Yikra, you could just pop outside and say it there. Bishlam, if you're learning for a three-hour Seder, I can't tell you to run out to the Beis HaMedrash every time there's a Reach Ra. So it's Lo Yefsha. There's Lo Yefsha, so then we'll be Matir. But if it's Kriya Shema, it is Efsha. How long does it take to Kriya Shema already? Says the Gemara, another condition. The Divrei Torah, and even Divrei Torah, which we said is awesome, Nami lo yomron elo de chavrei. That's only if the Reach Ra, She'ein lo yikar, was emitted from his friend's goof. Aval didei loy. But if it is his own goof, then not. And again, for the same reason, because if it's his own goof, then that's controllable. It's efsha. Whereas if it's other people, then it's unlimited. Could be there's 100 people there, so it could be at every given moment, there are 50 people sleeping, and if 50 people are sleeping, the chances are there's going to be a reach ra the whole time. So we are not makel when it comes to other people's reach ra with regard to limud Torah. Kriya Shema, we would say, yes, yeah, step outside the base of Medrash for a while and say Kriya Shema. So Mitz Hashem, we'll see this in the Shulchan Aruch tomorrow, Bez Hashem, normal time.
Yishikach.